Off the Ball, GAA.
This is the first full year again of the new rules, and we kind of concentrated on that over the winter, how we could play to our advantage, what we could do well. And as I said, we've got that consistency there in the league, which we've been striving for the last couple of years. And I think with the consistency, it brings confidence.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. So earlier this afternoon, I spent a little bit of time in the company of Mayo's Aidan O'Shea and in the company of Kerry's Sean O'Shea. We're going to be playing you out interviews with both of them on tonight's show. We're going to play Seanie out at 7:30, Aidan O'Shea at 8:40 tonight. And in the middle of those two slots at 8 p.m, we're going to play, Dave Allred, who is a famed rugby kicking coach. At this stage now, it's three different generations of Irish out half that he's worked with. He worked with Ronan O'Gara, he worked with Johnny Sexton, and Jack Crowley dropped the bombshell, if you can call it that, during this year's Six Nations, that he too has been working with Dave Allred. So catching up with him from 8 p.m. And then at 9 o'clock is the football show with Dion Fanning, as we kind of come to terms with the last week in the Republic of Ireland sphere. And also we've got a completed list of teams going to the World Cup at this point. So we're going to preview World Cup 2026 with a great level of excitement and not envy whatsoever. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp number or WhatsApp message even. Arthur O'D, our producer, is in studio. How are you doing, Arthur?
Flying.
And Dion Fanning is in early tonight. How are you getting on, Dion?
Good, Owen.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you enjoy the North Macedonia game last night?
I didn't go.
Okay.
I didn't go. I didn't have a ticket. And then I decided I wanted to watch the Czechia-Denmark game.
Very entertaining.
It was,
in terms of the drama and the predictability.
It was. It was depressing, but I think everything is depressing right now in terms of Irish football. It was a tough outcome.
What was the most depressing part about that game last night?
I guess it doesn't make it any easier to think about how close we were to the World Cup. And it was, I think it's becoming, we knew after Thursday how close it was. And then everything that happened last night, I think somehow we were, and I don't believe, and maybe we'll talk about this more later, but I don't believe that there's much that can actually make you feel good at the moment. But I think what we wanted was something to happen that made us think, actually, we weren't that close at all. Mm-hmm. We wanted our kind of, you're deluding yourself if you thought you were going to get to the World Cup. And then that didn't happen.
No. One of the things that I didn't quite countenance about this last week was that when we had that unbelievable high in November, nobody pressed pause and said, listen, if you can get this high, you can also get low to the exact same magnitude.
Your
what goes up must come down.
Investments can go down as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody told me this about the stock market.
It's like my terrible investment in that thing called Loopring in 2021, just still on my Revolut, worth like, 0.005% of what it was in my only venture into crypto ever. Don't do it, kids. Nobody told us this.
You should know. I mean, innately, do you not know?
I should.
I wonder, and this is a half facetious, but obviously you being from Kerry and you being preconditioned in that sense to success, I wonder, are you less attuned to the downwardness that can come about? Just because you're a prime sporting, I'm sure that was your first sporting thing. Was the first sporting event you were at a Kerry match?
No, but that's because I wasn't born in Ireland, but...
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, then maybe that explains it. Where were you born?
London.
Ah, there you go.
It would have been like Arsenal in the 1999 Charity Shield against Manchester United. Oh,
so yes,
you were there that long.
As well.
Anyway, I wonder, but I that's never been. I've never expected it, but I never for a second lost sight of the possibility of the downturn. I'm just more cautious.
It's not so much. It's not so much the downturn per se. The possibility of losing last week was always alive. It was more the feeling.
Okay. I think you're right. I think there's something in the, the collective addictive personality of let's say Celtic people. It's not just Irish people, but that it's like this feeling we have is going to last forever. This feeling, this is the only one we know now, and we just ignore all other. Rationally, you're right, that we can say, oh, I know that, you know, investments can go down and others up. But you know, I don't really think it's applicable in this instance.
Yeah, okay.
Where I'm just going to feel this good forever.
This is a sure thing, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, and then now, like the reverse is also the case. And now it's like, God, we're going to feel, everything is, we're doomed. We're doomed forever. Like, it's just never, you know, this mood is never going to lift.
Like, it's so funny how recently before November we had that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it can happen that quickly. I mean, it was doom going into Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
It was already, this is over. I don't think anyone, there was, people were literally coming on laughing about the prospect of us winning those two games.
Yeah, and I was among them.
Yeah.
I think I sat here telling you not to even get into it. Don't even talk about it, I may have said. Like, don't even get excited.
It suggests we have no real feel for ourselves, but also a very clear awareness of ourselves. We can't, we lose all sight of it in the moment of it happening. That all of a sudden we know this about ourselves, but we will completely. Yeah,
but why? At the same time, it's like the great line from Fraser when he says, "If less is more, think about how much more is." Like when we're feeling great, why would we ruin feeling by going, lads? Hold on now.
Remember,
this is not necessarily going to last forever. It's like, go away.
Yeah,
I feel good now, and you're gonna ruin that, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I left. I feel it was a sight though last week. Maybe it's the slight detachment of having been. So I was aware of 2002. I was about 11. So you've kind of had, and all the subsequent ones you're watching and stuff. But I was shocked by the extent of the hysteria. Like, even the, I was shocked by it. I don't know if
which part of it? In November?
No, in the last week.
Oh, in the last week, sorry.
Okay. I was surprised by things like, oh, there's going to be any number of radio shows live from Prague. It's like, really? It's like, what's,
as you're sitting there producing the show that's going out live in Prague.
We're live from Prague.
We're where?
I still was.
Why is no one in the office today?
It went mad, but I don't recall that. I'm sure it did, and you're kind of forgetting it, and maybe it's just the age we're in. But it did strike me as slightly different, or that it less was required to spark such a big reaction.
Yeah, but I think that was kind of naive in some ways, because I felt the same way. I was kind of taken aback by it. But in some, why? Like, when you consider what happened in November being this extraordinary event and this extraordinary week in Irish football. And if you argue, as I do constantly, that there's nothing like football in this country for capturing people's imaginations, when it captures... You shouldn't be surprised when it captures people's imagination. And that's what happened. But I was, I guess, because the team had been so down for so long. And I in my head, I almost had November as kind of just a standalone thing. Don't worry about what happened. Just enjoy this. And we'll see where it goes. But you know, obviously everyone else had said, I think I know where this goes. It goes to the World Cup.
There's a quote that I've been trying to find all day, and Tommy Rooney has just delivered it here for me. So I remember an interview he did with James Horne, the Mayo manager, in August 2021, right after they had beaten Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. Crucially, Mayo needed to get the final piece done. They needed to beat Tyrone in the All-Ireland final. And Tommy was talking to him about the hype in Mayo and what do you do about that as manager. And I think it's applicable to this Republic of Ireland situation. And Horan came back with an unbelievable answer. He'd done research into this and he quoted the Gurkhas and their approach to fighting in the jungle. And their quote was, "Don't fight the jungle, go with it." Now, Mayo lost that All-Ireland final to Tyrone, must be said. But it feels that maybe going with the jungle is actually not a bad way to go instead of, you know, drowning out this noise.
So, but what did we do? Did we go with the jungle?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Wholesale.
Well, I think we as a nation went with the jungle. Did the players, did the team go with the jungle? Maybe we'll find that out in time, in interviews.
We don't even consider, like, the players seem to be, I don't think we've spent much time considering whether they go with the jungle or they fight the jungle. This is going to turn into, you know, we're going to be using this forever now. And that, like, we just assume that they're kind of buffeted by events. Like, because that's the way it's been for any time there's any kind of occasion at all involving Irish football, that's just the way it goes. And there doesn't seem to be any attempt or consideration about removing yourself from it or stepping outside it. And whether it made any difference, who knows? Like, this is the thing. Like, I think it did make a difference. And because I was going to say, you know, if things had gone differently in the game, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here saying this. We'd be saying we'd have been looking forward to, and let's be honest, one of the things that meant, you know, so many of us were, you're feeling bad about after Thursday was, geez, again, what would Tuesday be like? If that was Thursday, what was Tuesday going to be like? The idea of, you know, last weekend going, no offense to, you know, my loved ones and my family who I spent the weekend with, but like trudging through the weekend going, where is Tuesday?
Yeah.
Like, what have I got looking forward to now? And it wasn't very much. And we're all in that. We're all in that mood. And I don't know if it necessarily gets helps in terms of getting a team through those kind of games.
Sean in Dublin says, we should have beaten that Czech team and had a home game versus Denmark. It was there for the taking. Bosnia beat Italy to pack their bags. We blew it, unfortunately. Another texter, unnamed, says, another nil-all draw against a team that were hammered a few days ago by the Danes, who lost to a team we drew with. What a disaster of an international window and nothing to look forward to until September. Joe in Galway asks, which team or teams will you all be supporting at the World Cup? I'll be cheering for Argentina again and Senegal. John says, lads, we Irish have the ability to deep dive into unrealistic expectation and hysteria and then turn and brush it all aside once the bubble has burst. We forget it all until the next time. It's great to be Irish. And then Ciarán finishes on a positive note. Well done to the Ireland under-17s who have qualified for back-to-back World Cups. Fantastic for the League of Ireland Academy system and a shot in the arm for Irish football. We'll turn to last night here in the newsroom because Hamer Halgrimsson afterwards described the Republic of Ireland's drab goalless draw with North Macedonia as strange. However, he did praise his team for showing up after a difficult week. So if you missed the game last night, Troy Parrott hit the woodwork. He had two goals ruled out for offside. Ireland unable to force a breakthrough throughout the 90 minutes. But there were debuts for Boston Lowell and James Abankwa, with the latter also forced off with injury. Both teams making wholesale changes in the second half. And then after the game, the Stoke City midfielder told Ben Symes he was delighted to finally get the opportunity to represent his country despite the unusual circumstances.
Just happy to finally get it done. Obviously, like you said, playing for every age group and finally making it to the big stage. I'm just grateful and thanks to God for making it happen. I think it's a different type of experience. It's just more of a test of character showing, and people showing what they're about, even though, like you said, it's just both teams not wanting to be here. But just have to put that aside and keep playing football. And they were playing for our country, so we need to represent the law.
Meanwhile, assistant manager John O'Shea says he hopes to have his contract situation sorted as soon as possible. The former Ireland captain has been in the spotlight following the announcement of Hamer Halgrimsson's extension last week. That deal is going to see him remain at the helm until after Euro 2028. And having formerly served as assistant to Stephen Kenny, O'Shea also took interim charge of the squad following his departure from the role. He's been involved in the senior international setup since 2023, and he says he'd like to remain in the job.
No, listen, without a doubt, because listen, it's what I love. It's what I've always loved doing, being involved with Ireland, and that ambition to listen, it's the next best thing to playing, to be involved with this group of boys, the desire they have, the levels that they're reaching now, and to keep pushing them. That's what we want to do, and that's what we want. We want to keep building that relationship we have now with the fans, but that ultimately comes with a bit more pressure on us to keep winning games, and that's what we're looking forward to doing.
Keep winning games, and also keep having competitive games, which is out of their hands, and it's not going to happen until September. So it'll be interesting to see if that sort of dulls the whole thing. But by and large, the contract situation, there doesn't seem to be any qualms since last Thursday that giving Hamer the contract last week was some sort of error.
No. I think there's been a little bit of talk about it, but not a lot. And I think that stability. Like a lot of these calls, it's a bit like the game itself. Like there's a lot of these calls are marginal, you know, in terms of when you're making substitutions, if you're taking players off. I think it's the same with the manager. It's not. It's do you on balance you decide to keep the manager because the alternative is a search for somebody who may or may not make it better. And, you know, there's no guarantees, even if Ireland were working on a budget that, you know, would be multiples of what they are working on, you still don't know if it's going to work or not. So I think sticking with him, his experience and his knowledge and his awareness even of the last few weeks, I think will be useful and interesting in terms of preparing Ireland, hopefully, for a Euros where you're actually, again, there's going to be big occasions and there's going to be, a lot of noise.
Well, the Euros is going to be what last night would have been, except it'll be three games minimum.
Yeah.
So we do have, like, I think we do. Is there something about the fact that that's like a sort of a co-hosting job and actually we just love the chase so much. Like, we're kind of addicted to this. And the fact that, like, we're basically, not fully, but basically guaranteed a spot in the Euros is like, you can't just give us these memories for free. Actually, in time, we'll be thankful for those memories for free.
Oh, well, when it comes around, you'll be delighted. But the point is that right now, this was what we were kind of, we're chasing. And I think it comes back to, the extraordinariness of November too, in the sense that I think all of us kind of, you know, when Scotland qualified that week and it was people kind of saying, oh, you know, this is even better and they've actually qualified, it kind of felt like, well, you know, we're actually going to, there's something so extraordinary about this that it'll probably almost it's predestined that it will lead now to qualification. And then, It didn't, and it's and we're sitting here going, yeah, and of course, like, it's like, you know, it's love, Owen. Like, it's like somebody telling you, like, oh, no, don't worry, you will meet somebody and, you know, everything will work out fine. And you're like, I don't want to hear that right now.
Elsewhere from yesterday evening, the future of Seamus Coleman is also up in the air after speculation that last night may have been his last game in the green shirt. So the 37-year-old earned his 79th cap for the country and has yet to reveal what his plans are beyond this season. He's struggled for game time this season, making just 5 appearances for Everton across their league and cup campaigns. And before the game, Coleman was on the pitch with his children, which further fueled speculation that last night might have been his swan song at the Aviva. Hamer Halgrimson says he'd like to see Coleman continue, but admits that it's out of his hands.
No, it's his decision what he's going to do, but we hope, and we told him, we hope he will stay on and play with us next season and hopefully for the Euros played in Ireland. That would be fantastic for him if he would be playing at that time.
I mean, it's one of these right now where you wouldn't be particularly surprised if he managed to squeeze a little bit more out of his career, because we all thought that he was finished a little bit before this point. But I don't know, like, it would be quite wise of the FAI, would have thought, to see what his future holds and see what sort of footballing capacity he'd like to be engaged in post his playing days, because I'm sure a job with Everton would be lucrative and very attractive to him as well. But can we try and tug at the heartstrings of being a great Republic of Ireland stalwart to try and get him involved in the setup, I wonder?
Well, I would try and get him involved, you keep him involved as a player. Like, I don't think, I don't see why you know, a few months down the line, he's going to be that much. He's extraordinarily dedicated, and takes it, you know, so seriously. And these days, I don't necessarily feel that, you know, the difference between 37 and 38 or 39 makes that huge amount of difference in having a player around. Like, you know, you're not going to, like, it's kind of exceptional that he's played the amount of minutes for Ireland that he played even in Prague, but I think to have him around, to have him as a presence in the squad, you know, is huge. If you can't have that, yeah, have him as part of the backroom team. But I would be, if I was Hamir, I'd be saying, like, trying to encourage him not to do anything, to stick around and just be part of it, because I don't see why not. Like, I think you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was like 32, 33, 34 was the age, and then it's 35, 36. So there's no reason why you can't keep playing, considering, you know, if you didn't know what age Seamus Coleman was and you saw him playing those matches, you wouldn't, and they said, that guy's going to retire now, you'd be like, why?
Do you think you'd have to move club?
Well, that's not, the only, that's the thing. That's the only, like, but he's not, maybe Everton, he hasn't been playing for Everton. So, like, it doesn't.
But I just wonder, like, I wonder, are you able to keep that going, say, if it's 2 years down the line?
Yeah, I know.
Need some sort of regularity. No, he'd find it. I mean, it's not like, but I do wonder, because I'm sure they have designs as well on retaining him.
Oh, definitely.
So they probably would be a little bit reluctant to see him go as well. Now they could bring him back again. Everything's open. But
if he wants to keep playing, he can keep playing somewhere. Like, I think that's the thing, and that is up to him. But I don't feel there should be any real urgency or sort of haste to get rid of him.
On some of the other results from last night, Ireland's conquerors, Czechia, they sealed a place at the World Cup by overcoming Denmark on penalties in Prague. Italy failed to qualify for a third World Cup in a row after a penalty shootout defeat by Bosnia and Herzegovina. Meanwhile, Viktor Gyökeres scored a dramatic late winner for Graham Potter's Sweden, who beat Poland 3-2 to reach the tournament. Turkey secured a 1-0 victory over Kosovo. In the friendlies then, England slumped to a 1-0 loss to Japan in what was their first ever defeat to an Asian nation. Brighton's Kairu Mitoma scored the only goal at Wembley, while Australia hammered World Cup-bound Curaçao 5-1. Norway were held to a nil-all stalemate with Switzerland. It ended with the same scoreline between Egypt and Spain. However, that game was tarred by alleged Islamophobic chants. After the game, Lamine Yamal condemned what he described as intolerable chanting during the friendlies with Egypt last night. And the Spanish Federation has denounced the chanting and Catalan police are investigating. Yamal says using religion as a taunt is ignorant and racist. FIFA is awaiting official reports before deciding on any action. Overnight as well, Democratic Republic of Congo and Iraq both qualified to complete the complement of teams at this year's World Cup. One texter has been in touch to say it's too hard to get out of the European Confederation for the World Cup. It's much easier in other confederations. Italy has only one World Cup match since their last won the tournament in 2006. Should it be a two-legged playoff between countries from different confederations going forward? It just becomes the Euros then, doesn't it?
This is how FIFA remodeled itself and gave more places to countries outside its traditional power base, or football's traditional power base. But it's it's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. They're not going to, FIFA have seen where their power lies, and they don't believe it's in Europe anymore. And UEFA is so powerful and a rival to FIFA that there's not much in it for FIFA in a political sense to do that. So I think this is the way it's going, and this is the way it's going to stay.
Would it make for a better tournament?
Possibly, but like in the same sense that, as you're saying, like it would, but it'd be almost just a continuation of what we have even in the Champions League. I know that the terms are different, but it's effectively the same concentration of wealth and power is so strong, or the Euros, as you say. Like, but it's a strange one, because there's no chance it changes, but by the same token, there's also no chance that it'll be like a rising tide situation where I don't think for some of the countries getting there that wouldn't have been there, only infrequently there, that it'll lead to any serious development of football in countries that, you know, like in terms of it drawing players, where it doesn't really happen. Like, Europe will stay where the best paid players come and play. So I don't know. It's a point of difference, I guess. You just have to, they're different things almost.
But this one is so different to anything that's gone before as well, because the number of teams in it, that it's just, it's kind of bizarre looking at it. It's hard to compute it and compare it to anything else, because it's so big, it's so ridiculously big that it doesn't seem like, you know, you can actually say how could you, watching this one unfold is just going to be, you're going to have to just figure it out and you get some sense of it when it starts. But you look at some of the groups already, and, you know, there's some groups there that you just think this is not, there's very little in this group to excite anybody, even though when the World Cup comes around, you tend to be kind of excited about everything and determined to watch everything. But there are some groups already you're looking at, that's That's a tough watch.
I wonder what we would have done for the 3 a.m. kickoff. South Korea, which is obviously now Czechia, but just seeing it written down there that that's going to be 3 a.m. on the first night of the tournament on the 11th of June. This country would have completely lost the run of itself.
Every
place would have been an early house.
No sleep.
Yeah. It would have been insane.
Nightclub licenses for every single establishment around the country.
I wondered how, as a father of a 12-year-old, I wondered how kids were going to actually watch that if it happened. Like, it's impossible. 3 o'clock in the morning is an impossible game for kids to watch, was a kind of, even the 5 o'clock ones, you could actually do something. I just thought 3 o'clock is just, I don't know how you manage that. So when my son was saying to me last Thursday when he went to bed, saying, at least you know what it's like to have a World Cup, I was going to say, son, you weren't going to watch it anyway.
Owen's been in touch to say, it's also sad to see the demise of Italy, who seem to have totally neglected youth development, and Serie A is a pale shadow of its former self. How many great Italian players can you name from this century? I presume he means who have been born this century. There's plenty of great Italian players from this century, but anyone... The good side of 26, it's definitely thin on the ground.
They won the Euros 5 years ago.
Yeah. Which looks mad, really.
It's a bit of an outlier, recently. But I wouldn't feel too sorry for him.
No, it's definitely a bit of an aberration.
I'd miss them. I should say, I'd much prefer if they were there. But
well, that's it. It's not so much, I feel slightly sorry for them, but I feel more like Italy is what part of what World Cup should be. Like, that's the thing. That's the real consequence.
I want to move on here to a couple of other stories. So Tiger Woods has confirmed that he's going to step away from golf for a period of time to seek treatment following his arrest after a car crash last week. The 15-time major winner was arrested and charged with driving under the influence following a collision in Florida on Friday. He submitted a written plea of not guilty through his lawyers yesterday and revealed on social media that he was taking a break to prioritise my well-being. He had previously hinted that he was targeting an appearance at the Masters in Augusta next week. However, that's now been ruled out following the announcement. In a statement released late last night, the PGA Tour said, "Tiger Woods is a legend of our sport whose impact extends far beyond his achievements on the course. But above all else, Tiger is a person and our focus is on his health and well-being. Tiger continues to have our full support as he takes this important step." Now, Graham McDowell has told the BBC he's considering rejoining the DP World Tour with the Irish Open and next year's Ryder Cup in his sights. The 2010 US Open champion joined LIV Golf in 2022. He hasn't appeared at an Irish Open since his switch. He finished 3 under par for the round in 2021 in a tie for 56th place. He's admitted the decision to align with the breakaway circuit has complicated his future with Europe's traditional golf structure. So good to have GMAT back.
Yeah, I guess so. And so many of these golf guys, I have no idea what they do be doing week by week.
Playing golf.
It just doesn't come across my radar. I'm sure it does for many, obviously. And that'll be seemingly, it's like, wow, he's still a going concern. What age is he now?
Graham.
Sorry to put you on the spot. But it just, obviously, the thing was 16 years ago. He must be well into his 40s, is he?
46.
Yeah. What would he be going back for? He wouldn't be competing. But just to participate.
We have some rugby news as well. Munster are going to be...
I don't want the kibosh on that. Just interesting.
Munster are likely to be without the services of Dermot Barron, Calvin Nash and Brian Gleeson ahead of this weekend's Challenge Cup clash with Exeter Chiefs. The trio have failed head injury assessments following last week's loss to Bulls in Pretoria. Barron, who made his 100th appearance for the province last week, has withdrawn after a clash of heads with Ruan Nortier in the first half. Nash was also forced to exit the field early after an attempted tackle on Vili LaRue saw him taken off for a head injury assessment, while Gleeson was taken off at the break. They're going to all follow the return to play protocols, and this weekend's knockout tie gets underway from 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. And finally, Derek Chisora says his fight with Deontay Wilder this weekend will definitely be the final bout of his career. The 42-year-old takes on the former heavyweight champion in London in what will be his 50th professional fight. He's faced the likes of Vitaly Klitschko, Tyson Fury, David Haye and Dillian White since joining the pro ranks just over 19 years ago. The 2-time heavyweight title challenger says he wants to put on a show as his career draws to a close and believes Saturday's fight with Wilder will provide a good opportunity to do so. Now, a couple of other texts coming in. Kieran says, people don't fully realise just how hard it is to qualify for a World Cup from Europe compared to South America. Take Brazil, for example. They're in a qualifying group of 10 teams where six go straight through and seventh gets a playoff spot. That means 70% of teams have a pathway to the World Cup. Now compare that to Ireland. In Europe, you've got 55 nations, 12 qualify automatically, four more getting through in playoffs. That's 16 out of 55, less than 30%. So when people compare nations like Ireland to South American teams, they're missing a huge part of the picture. The pathway is just completely different. For Ireland, qualifying isn't just difficult. It's one of the toughest routes in world football. I think it's been well established.
But that doesn't make, is that meant to make us feel better or worse?
Are many people comparing Ireland to Brazil?
But no, but the point is that we were so close. Like in the, like the, that path, like I, he's absolutely correct, obviously, in terms of how difficult it is. But we were very close to surmounting those difficulties and getting to the World Cup, or close, you know, as close as we have been in many years. And it's that's what makes it painful.
You are listening to Dion Fanning. There'll be more of this sort of, you know, digging deep into the pain of the Irish football fan after 9 o'clock on tonight's football show. So we'll chat to you after then. Dion, Arthur, thanks for popping in. Loads still to come in the next 90 minutes before the football show. There, we're going to be playing out our interview with Sean O'Shea after the break. Then we're going to be speaking to Dave Allred from 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Aidan O'Shea before 9 o'clock. And as I say, the football show is coming your way after 9 o'clock here on Off the Ball on News Talk. The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.